If you enjoy rabbits, you'll love our other podcast, Tanis. Tanis is a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Download the podcast The Guardian calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis, it's television for your ears.
Ready when you are.
You believe your friend was playing rabbits?
She started seeing mysterious men in gray.
What did she ask you?
She asked me how many steps to the lighthouse.
What do you know about chaos theory?
The streets were red, then black with blood.
That sounds poetic. Where are you now?
The bottom line isn't money or purpose. It's inspiration.
Are we still going to have sex?
I'm afraid not.
She believed Hazel killed Emily Masters.
Maybe later.
For sure, later. I first heard about the game shortly after my best friend, Yumiko Takada, disappeared. I started this podcast because I want to find out what happened to my friend. From the Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale, you're listening to Rabbits. I'm Carly Parker. Stay with us. Last time, Jones revealed what he'd proposed was another message from the past, answering a question sent from the present. It's a lot to consider, I know. I'm having a hard time with this one as well. Jones also asked me the following questions. Do I want to go through my entire life half awake? Or do I want to put in the effort to see, to go deeper? Well, if it means finding my friend, then the answer is yes. I want to see. Yes, I want to go deeper. He warned me that once I'd heard what he had to say, the world would never look the same. Well, he was right. Kind of. Jones came over to my place. He brought some wine. I poured us each a glass, took a huge sip, and waited. It didn't take long for him to dive right in.
I haven't been able to find any other participants. It looks like they've all just disappeared.
All of them?
Yes. It almost looks like nobody else is playing the game.
Is that odd?
Incredibly odd. I can always find a few players at least.
Always?
Always. I also haven't been able to find the magician to ask him what's going on.
What does this mean?
It means I'm worried. It means I believe we're running out of time.
Time for what?
Time to figure things out. Time to win rabbits.
Okay, what do we do now? Where do we start?
Could you show me the photo of that passenger pigeon from the museum in Seattle?
Sure.
Okay. You see that?
What?
The tag.
All right. Yes, there's a tag.
This passenger pigeon is specimen number 6878.
Okay, great. So?
6878. When I type those numbers into Google Earth as measurements of longitude and latitude?
Yeah.
I get this.
Holy shit, that's...
The Gazprom Neft plant. It's located at longitude 68.00 and latitude 78.00. Those exact coordinates.
That's one hell of a coincidence.
Well, there's more.
Like what?
This spool of thread from Arcadia?
What about it?
Look at the color.
What about the color? It's green.
Yes, but it's a very specific green. It's Deku V cotton green number 6878.
He flipped the spool over to reveal the number, 6878. I had to admit, these coincidences were starting to freak me out a little.
So the passenger pigeon, the spool of thread, and the plant in Russia all feature the number 6878. These have to be coincidences, don't they?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, yes, they are coincidences. But what if they're also something else?
Like my comic, Priesthood One being an anagram for The Doors Open?
Exactly like that. These coincidences are indicators that certain events, or a certain event, is in motion.
An event like what? What are you talking about?
Okay, what if these increasing coincidences surrounding a certain point? What if they're a signpost? A signifier indicating you're close to something? That progress is being made? Indicators that you're on the right path.
Coincidences again. Like your strange attractors theory?
Yes. They might indicate that we're close to finding an inflection point.
And inflection points are numbers?
They could be.
What do you mean?
Okay. This is when things are going to start to sound a little crazy.
You say that a lot.
Fair point. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you believe the questions I asked in that forum were somehow being answered by somebody in the past?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Then, no. I don't. Do you?
How do you explain the specificity of those responses? The exact time reference matching up with those messages?
Alleged messages.
Okay. So what do you think?
Well, I suppose somebody faked those Marigold recordings and set this whole thing up.
You don't sound convinced.
Yeah, I don't know. It's messy.
How could they know how to answer the questions I was going to ask on that forum?
Well, Jones, the possibility that you made everything up is far more believable, to be honest. No offense.
Hey, none taken. I understand completely. Occam's razor. If I were you, I'd feel the same way.
Okay, so let's consider for a moment that you didn't make all of this stuff up.
Oh, okay.
Do you believe the game is somehow communicating from the past?
That's a hard question.
You asked me the same thing.
Right. Another fair point. Okay, let's put a pin in that for now. How about another somewhat related question?
Two.
Do you believe in multiple dimensions? Or the idea popularized by Bryce DeWitt, the many worlds theory?
I think it's possible. Theoretically possible, but... Sure, yeah, okay.
And do you believe, or would you be willing to entertain the idea that it's possible that the past and the future might just be other dimensions?
I suppose it's possible. I don't believe we know everything we can about the nature of time.
Okay. I'm gonna backtrack a little here. I'm afraid I was being a little overdramatic on the telephone earlier.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Okay.
But I'm still gonna tell you some, what you might refer to as crazy shit.
Great.
But until recently, I wasn't sure I actually believed it, or at least not all of it. I'm still not sure what to believe.
Okay, disclaimer acknowledged and accepted.
Okay, well, I'm going to attempt to clarify things that I've hinted at in the past. It's kind of...
Just say it.
Okay, here goes. The theory is known as Elysian Drift.
Right. You made that up, didn't you?
There are some people who believe there are multiple dimensions, like ribbons, and that our dimension is only one of many.
Okay.
And, like I mentioned earlier, the past and the future, or, for that matter, all of the pasts, presents, and futures are simply different dimensional ribbons.
I'm still following.
Okay. Good. Imagine multiple dimensions, each moving forward like ribbons in a river made up of smaller substreams, each stream requiring periodic adjustments in order to remain viable and healthy.
Okay.
And streams that don't receive these periodic adjustments when required will atrophy to entropy, and at that point, the dimension moving within that stream will break apart and disappear from existence.
That sounds final.
Like chaos theory, strange attractors, and the butterfly effect, there are those who believe that rabbits is part of a complex system, an elaborate adjustment system, guiding energy toward inflection points that, when pressed enough, will result in nudging that dimension back to health until another adjustment is required.
Coincidences.
One of the system's ways of letting you know you're on the right path. Markers or signposts along the way. The more seemingly coincidental events, the closer you are to...
making an adjustment.
That's right.
And winning the game?
Yes. Maybe.
And the wardens?
Work to make sure the adjustments are taking place.
You seriously believe this stuff?
I'm not 100% convinced one way or the other.
Thank God.
But I've seen and experienced things.
What kind of things?
You've seen and experienced things too, Carly. I think it's time we talked about our parents and their involvement in the Gatewick Institute.
You know we love Squarespace here at the Public Radio Alliance. We need a lot of websites, and we use Squarespace for all of them. It's so easy, and everything is so clean, elegant, and it just works. And because we use Squarespace for everything, our sites look good wherever you happen to be looking at them. Laptops, desktops, or mobile devices. Squarespace is the best. Their incredible award-winning designer templates are the most beautiful way to present your ideas online. Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade, ever. If you have a passion that you obsess over, like visiting rare bookstores in search of a book that may or may not exist in order to win a strange and ancient game, or selling homemade WTF cookies online, whatever it is that keeps you up at night, that drives you creatively, you need to get it out there. If you need a domain as well, Squarespace offers a unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. So share your ideas with the world. Start your free trial site today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RABBITS to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com and use the offer code RABBITS. Squarespace. Make your next move. Whether you're running through the world looking for clues to a strange and ancient game, or simply hiking through the woods to get in shape for summer, you need socks. You need Bombas socks. Bombas socks are highly functional, fashionable, and philanthropic athletic leisure socks. We love our Bombas, and you're going to love yours.
One pair purchased equals one pair donated. And so far, they've donated more than 2 million pairs. So let's help them get to 3 million. Along with Bombas' already classic lineup of amazing socks, they now have dress socks and invisible no-show socks. Bombas never stops innovating for your feet. Bombas are like nothing else on the market, built for both athletic performance and extreme leisure. These are advanced socks that look and feel amazing. Visit bombas.com/rabbits to get 20% off your first order. Bombas socks are incredibly comfortable. They're strong around the toes, they breathe, they fit. You can really feel the quality. I wear them, and they're awesome. That's bombas.com/rabbits to get 20% off your first order of Bombas socks. Like I mentioned on an earlier episode, my parents were killed in a ferry accident in 2007. It was Valentine's Day, their 30th wedding anniversary. I wouldn't describe my relationship with my parents as incredibly close. I was really close with my brother, but our parents were always busy. I understood that they loved my brother and me. It's just that they were working all the time. So there weren't a whole bunch of family vacations or trips abroad. I took piano lessons, played sports, swimming and camping, and did the rest of the normal things kids did. But sometimes it felt like my parents, and I'm not saying this to be mean, because it resulted in me becoming a fiercely questioning independent child, but sometimes it felt like they just did the minimum when it came to parenting. I wasn't around when they raised my brother, but he told me things were remarkably similar during his childhood. Our parents clearly had other things on their minds. They both worked for a company called Arabali Abraxas as consultants, and when they weren't at the office, they took their work home with them. I never understood what they did, what being a consultant meant, and to be honest, even after 2 university degrees and a whole bunch of life experience, I'm still a little unclear on what a consultant does, other than provide some kind of opinion about something. I was born in San Francisco, so my parents were in the Bay Area during the period Jones suggests they were involved with the Gatewick Institute. You're certain my parents were a part of this Gatewick Institute?
I initially found their names on a sign-up list, and after a bit more digging, I discovered both of our parents' names, along with a few others, had been redacted from a handful of other documents.
What does that mean?
It means your parents were there. They were definitely part of the Institute.
What was supposed to be happening there?
Well, they advertised as a kind of self-help scientific research organization, very similar to Werner Eckhart's EST or Hubbard's Dianetics, on the surface.
But beneath the surface?
Things were a bit closer to the Stanford Prison Experiment. It turns out, they were an offshoot of MKUltra.
The military LSD thing?
Yes.
People staring at ghosts.
MKUltra was a spin-off of Operation Paperclip. They were allegedly working on all kinds of, well, terrible shit, including mind control and biological weapons. They were also involved in recruiting Nazi scientists to help them with their research. This was around 1945.
Nazis?
Yeah. They were willing to do anything to gain an advantage at this point. Paperclip became MKUltra, which ran from 1951 until 1973. In 1967, they were ordered to cut it way back, and that's when a more dedicated faction of the group branched off and created the Gatewick Institute.
And what did this more dedicated faction do?
Well, they did a lot of the same things MKUltra was interested in. They continued the search for a super true serum and took part in Subproject 54, the Navy's top-secret concussion program, using sub-oral frequency blasts to erase memory.
They could do that? Use sound to erase memory?
Allegedly, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. about what they were most interested in, aside from the extensive thought experiments, was using a wide variety of drugs in an attempt to activate something within the pineal gland, something that was supposed to extend human consciousness. DMT was their favorite, but they tried everything.
I don't think my parents would have had anything to do with that kind of stuff. They were pretty conservative.
That's what I thought about my parents as well. But they were involved. Seriously involved. Both your parents and mine.
What makes you say that?
I found our parents' names somewhere else.
Where?
In 1973, most of MKUltra's records were destroyed by then head of the CIA, Richard Helms. But the Gatewick Institute was separate. Is separate.
They're still active?
Yes. And I was able to find a research study team list from the mid-80s.
Is this real?
It's real.
And there they were, my parents. They looked so young. I couldn't believe they were ever that young. I also couldn't believe how much my father looked like my brother back then. It was uncanny. They were standing in front of an austere, mid-century building made of glass and wood, with a group of about 10 other people. Some wore lab coats, some didn't. Most wore turtleneck sweaters. They had a serious, late 70s, early 80s, science fiction B-movie vibe going on. They looked like the crew of some kind of top-secret Apollo space mission. It wasn't the same building as the other photograph. I imagine the Gatewick Institute must have outgrown the smaller brick building at some point. Jones pointed out his parents. He seemed visibly upset just looking at them in a photo, and quickly brought back a picture of the building and minimized the photo featuring our parents. I thought they worked for Arabella Braxis. I could never say that name as a kid.
Arabella Braxis Incorporation was one of a dozen or so fronts for the Gatewick Institute. They also had a spa, an organic food farming setup, and a recording studio in Los Angeles, among a bunch of other interests.
So, what happened at the Gatewick Institute? Jones? I'll have more details on the Gatewick Institute soon, but while I was sitting there with Jones, I received a call from Maury at Yumiko's gym. He told me that the courier who dropped the logic board off at the gym for Yumiko was at the new location, working out. I thanked him and told him we'd be right over.
Okay, what does this guy look like?
Maury said he had a few piercings.
A few piercings or more of a Hellraiser kind of thing?
Oh. Wow. Hi there. Hey, can we go somewhere and talk for a few minutes?
There's a bar across the street. 15 minutes.
Thanks. Half an hour later, the courier entered the bar.
Hi, thanks for coming. My name is Carly. This is Jones. We're looking for my missing friend. Her name is Yumiko Takata.
And what does that have to do with me?
Well, you dropped off a package for her at the gym. Well, at the other location, a while ago.
I did.
Yes.
Well, if you say so. I drop off a lot of shit.
You're a courier?
I do a lot of things.
Is one of those things acting as a courier?
What do you want?
We want to know who paid you to drop that logic board off for Yumiko.
You do, do you?
How much?
How much what?
How much money to answer a few questions?
Sounds like you only have the one question.
What is wrong with you?
You know, your friend was terrified that somebody was following her.
What do you mean?
I mean, she was scared. And kept looking over her shoulder.
Wait, I thought you didn't... I thought Yumiko had already gone missing by the time you dropped off the logic board.
She had.
Okay, so then how did you know she was scared?
I saw it in her eyes. When I met her outside her apartment.
When was this?
when I dropped off the other thing.
What other thing?
The postcard.
What postcard?
Just a regular postcard. A picture on the front, a few words on the back.
What words?
I don't remember.
Oh my God. What was the picture?
It was a lighthouse.
Do you remember what lighthouse?
I have no idea.
Well, if I show you some pictures of lighthouses, could you point it out?
Maybe. Yeah, if you buy me another drink.
Here at the Public Radio Alliance, we use Stamps.com to send everything. We use Stamps.com because we send a lot of correspondence, and because Stamps.com makes it incredibly easy to do so, but also because we wanted to save time and money. Stamps.com is convenient, easy, reliable, and flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience, 24/7. So, whether you're sending out cheat codes for a mysterious video game that suddenly appeared on your phone, or you're sending fan mail to your favorite podcast, you know, the podcast about the mysterious ancient game with the cute and furry name, you need to save time and money. You need Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use the promo code RABBITS for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Get started with Stamps.com today, and within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RABBITS. That's Stamps.com, enter RABBITS. With Stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again. I pulled up about 100 lighthouses on my phone, including the two from Alaska, but he said that none of them looked familiar. I wanted to keep going through photos, and the courier was content to keep drinking the free beer, but Jones had seen enough. He pulled me out of there, a couple hours later.
This guy isn't going to tell us anything.
Well, he certainly isn't going to now.
I don't think he's a courier, at least, well, not exclusively. I think he works for Alan Scarpio.
The billionaire?
Yes.
The winner of six.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
I've seen him before, in pictures, with Scarpio. He's kind of hard to miss.
Okay, but why would Alan Scarpio send Miko a Defender 2 logic board?
There's only one way to find out. Come on.
So, we went to visit a billionaire. Not as easy as it sounds, however. Turns out there are a lot of hoops to jump through, followed by a crocodile-infested moat, and more boring phone calls than you can possibly imagine. And still, after going through all of that, the answer was no. But, eventually, my friend and former boss, Nick Silver, was able to use some old Public Radio Alliance connections to make it happen. Scarpio had a ranch outside of Whitefish, Montana. Nick got us 5 minutes with Scarpio. We flew out to Montana for those 5 minutes, which Alan Scarpio turned into 5 hours. He would not stop talking.
Hey, you know why they call it skee-ball?
No, why?
Oh, shit, I was hoping you would know.
Alan Scarpio is thin, about 5'9", scruffy dark brown hair, loose-fitting blondie t-shirt from the 80s, jeans, and a pair of worn-out Reef flip-flops. We met him in his games room.
It was packed with pinball machines and video arcade games from the Golden Age. There was a bowling alley. He was playing skee-ball as we entered.
Charlie Parker. I feel like playing games.
You here?
Yeah, don't worry, I'm not stalking you. I made a few inquiries after your producer friend called.
What else did you hear?
Well, why don't you introduce me to your friend?
Mrs. Jones.
Jones, is it?
Jones.
Jones, that's it, huh? Just Jones?
That's it.
Yeah, if you say so.
At this point, Alan Scarpio walked over and pressed the play button on a video game console. It seemed like everybody, however remotely or directly connected to rabbits, was interested in old games of some kind or another.
Do you know why they call it Defender?
If I ask why, are you going to tell me that you're asking because you're hoping I know?
There was a TV show in the 60s called The Defenders. That's what inspired it. The team at Williams could only make the planet's surface a pixel wide because of the graphics and computing limitations at the time, but I think it's beautiful. You know, it's simple, it's elegant, clean.
Interesting.
Really?
The guy's name is Eugene Jarvis. He was a pinball guy. Defender was his first shot at video games, and it happened to be Williams' best-selling game. He and his team invented side-scrolling.
Which continued with Stargate.
Yeah, well, Stargate's a better game.
I totally agree.
But you've played Defender, too.
Yes, I have.
The only version in existence.
If you say so.
How'd you like it?
It's exactly the same as Stargate.
Is it?
Yes. Well, okay, there are a few quirks.
A pixel-drawn version of your friend Yumiko's face, perhaps?
What do you know about that?
Yeah, I wonder, what did she think about it?
She never saw it.
What do you mean?
She was gone before you had that guy drop it off.
Well, that's too bad.
Why was it important that Yumiko see that?
Nothing is important. Is it, Jones?
Is that supposed to be some sort of cryptic wisdom?
What do you think?
Why did you send that logic board to Yumiko?
I didn't send it to Yumiko.
No?
No, I sent it to an address.
The gym.
I wasn't given the name of the establishment, only a street address. 6878 Edgar Avenue.
Are you playing rabbits? Is that why you sent that logic board? And what about the postcard? And what do you know about Yumiko's disappearance?
Man, you have a lot of questions.
Tell me about rabbits.
What if rabbits is a myth?
Didn't you win version 6?
I don't know anything about the postcard other than what was written on the back, I'm afraid. I'm not playing a game. But if I was, would I be allowed to tell you?
What was on the back of the postcard?
A question.
What question?
How many steps?
You're going to tell me why you sent these things to my friend.
Carly.
A plane goes down in Brazil, hitting a rally outside of Rio, killing a radical political leader. Markets in London that crashed due to a day trading bot scandal. There's a small accident at CERN that results in a series of tiny black holes. A new Stonehenge is discovered in Antarctica. And a woman, dead for 11 years, showed up at work this morning in Portland, Maine, as if nothing happened.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a world kept from corroding. From dying.
By people playing rabbits?
Maybe.
I don't think I get it.
What if whoever or whatever had been looking out for us, keeping us on track, just stopped looking, gave up altogether, just decided we weren't worth it anymore?
I don't know. I mean...
Did, Jonesy here tell you about your parents? Come on, Carly, let's go.
Wait. What do you know about my parents?
Did you ask her about the dream?
What dream? What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm afraid it's time for you to go.
No, we're not going anywhere until you tell me what I want to know.
Oh, really?
So, that was Alan Scarpio, eccentric billionaire and alleged winner of the sixth iteration of Rabbids. Things got a bit heated at the end. Jones tried to lead us out, but I wouldn't go. I demanded Scarpio keep talking, but he clammed up. He said he wasn't willing to go into any more details unless he and I were alone. If I wanted answers, I was to come back tomorrow by myself, without Jones. We left Alan Scarpio's place, changed our flight, and booked two rooms in a motel.
What dream?
What?
Scarpio asked me if you told me about the dream yet.
He's a lunatic. I think Alan Scarpio was... unhinged.
6878. The address of the gym. It's the same as the passenger pigeon and everything else.
Yes.
Do you think the gym is one of your coincidences that leads to some inflection point?
It could be.
How does this stuff work again?
Okay. Well, remember, this is all just theoretical.
Okay.
Participants play the game, follow clues, follow their instincts. With enough people focusing a specific type of energy on whatever mysterious grid or complex web of math and physics the wardens present, they move toward an adjustment.
A specific type of energy? Like people playing a game?
Well, it looks like a game to us. What would an enormous grid of thought energy directed in certain ways look like in another dimension?
Right. And the coincidences.
Let you know you're on the right path. Continuing to focus all of this thought and energy of discovery on the game will, theoretically, eventually result in affecting an inflection point enough to cause something. A slip.
A correction.
Or adjustment, yes.
6878.
In this case, the inflection point might have something to do with the number 6878.
Might?
Well, numbers or people or places. The math is, it's never perfectly clear or simple, and it could be too soon to know if we're looking in the correct area.
Of course. Nothing about this thing is clear and simple.
I know it sounds crazy, but I believe the game was created as a way of regulating this dimension.
There has to be an easier, better way than some complex, seemingly random game that relies on random recruits stumbling upon it in a laundromat.
Does there?
What do you mean?
Well, Rabbids appears to involve complex math, physics, chaos theory, strange attractors working toward an end.
An adjustment.
Right. Who's to say that were we able to see the entire tapestry of whatever is operating behind the scenes?
The Warden's secret multidimensional universe adjustment center?
What if we had the vision to look at the complex system of the Earth and see it the way they do?
Okay.
Would this method of manipulating energy seem all that strange? Maybe not. The complex math required to manipulate the energy involved in, well, let's call them dimensional ribbons, appears in our world as, among other things, a complex alternate reality game. But what if they see it as a simple mathematical formula that's programmed to replicate itself whenever an adjustment is required?
Like a safety mechanism.
Exactly.
Okay, so some alien force is using complex bidimensional energy manipulating dynamics to keep our world on the right path?
By focusing a certain type of energy in a way we can currently only understand through a rough translation. The translation from whatever complex system they use in their dimension into the language of this game.
a certain kind of energy. Like a bunch of players all over the world looking for the same thing.
Yes.
Like, maybe, how many steps of some lighthouse?
Maybe, yes.
How do you know so much about the behind-the-scenes mechanics of the game?
I don't. I mean, not really. It's all theoretical.
So, rabbits could actually just be a game, rather than some weird interdimensional repair program?
Yes. But there are certain indicators that it's much more.
Like what?
Have you heard of the Berenstain Bears?
No.
How about the Berenstain Bears?
Oh, well, in that case, still no.
Okay, the theory goes like this. There are children's books called the Berenstain Bears. They're very popular.
I'll have to take your word for it.
But most people remember the Berenstain Bears as the Berenstain Bears. I mean, they not only remember, but insist this is the case. The most popular theory is that at some point in our history, two dimensions or streams of time diverged. Our world somehow hopped tracks, slipped streams into a parallel reality.
That's a little out there.
There's now an alternate reality, which is actually our previous reality, or one of our previous realities, where that series of books is still called the Berenstain Bears.
And you believe this?
I don't know, but I find it interesting.
But it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Unless it's not.
What do you mean?
I mean, think about the event that took place at the swimming pool when you were a kid.
My false memory?
Yeah, but you don't believe it's false.
Okay. So what?
So, what if it did really happen?
I don't get it.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a few things at you right now, so just bear with me, okay?
Berenstain Bear with you?
That's hilarious.
Couldn't resist.
The research team at the Gatewick Institute, our parents among them, experimented with a lot of things, including drugs, some experimental and unapproved, and a variety of dangerous and complex combinations.
Sounds unlikely, but I'll keep listening.
Thanks.
Sure.
Okay, well, what if there was something, genetically, that happened to the offspring of those who took part in that research?
Something genetically like what?
I'm not exactly sure, but I'm working on a theory that involves something similar to the game mechanics of rabbits.
Like what?
Like slipping streams, or jumping tracks. Something that also sounds similar, in theory, to the Berenstain Bears.
I jumped tracks, and that's why there's no record of what happened at that swimming pool?
Exactly. Because in this reality, in this dimensional stream, that event didn't happen.
But everything else is the same.
Probably, yes. But I have no idea. I'm part of your new stream.
Okay. So why did my father pretend it didn't happen?
Maybe. Because for him, it didn't.
I don't understand.
I believe this ability to slip, if it exists, is something that only manifests in the offspring.
So my dad couldn't slip with me?
Right.
You really believe that the offspring of people who took part in the Gatewick Institute studies are capable of some kind of interdimensional slipping?
I don't know. But it's something that I've been looking into for a long time.
You told me that something happened to you. Something similar to my swimming pool memory. What happened?
I'm sorry, but I don't feel like I'm ready to talk about that right now, okay?
What happened to quid pro quo?
I was sent away.
What for? What happened?
I burned down the entire town.
It's Rabbits. I'm Carly Parker. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. Until next time, stay safe. If you enjoy rabbits, you'll love our other podcast, Tanis. Tanis is a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Download the podcast The Guardian calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis, it's television for your ears. Rabbits is a Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale production. Produced by Hollis Adams Lane. Produced, mixed, and edited by Terry Miles and Carly Parker. Additional editorial and production assistance by Morgan Stevens. Associate producers Tara Pratt and Bailey Everett. Producer Emeritus Mackenzie Howard. Executive producers Terry Miles and Hollis Adams Lane. You can support Rabbits by visiting our website at rabbitspodcast.com and clicking on support in the top right corner. If you enjoy Rabbits, please rate and especially review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you found us. Reviews are key to keeping Rabbits on the charts where people can find our show. Thank you so much for listening to Rabbits. For legal and safety reasons, we've elected to change some names and leave others out entirely. We don't do this very often, but we're not willing to compromise people's safety for any reason. Thanks again for listening to Rabbits.